It's a harsh Australian summer, and in these parts, summer means different things to different people. But more than anything else, summer means the non-ratings period is here. The regular presenters have packed up and gone to their cabanas, handing the airwaves over to the B-team. A bunch of also-ran nobodies paid to hold the fort. But there are some shifts even professional seat warmers won't touch, and Sunday afternoon is one of them. Anna Corrin drew the line. Mike Hammond said he wasn't interested. Even Peter Luck said he couldn't be asked. But luckily, there are two men in radio who have no shame. Two men at the very bottom of the pile who spent last night as the summer fill-in hosts on Quizmania and then backed up again this morning as the summer fill-in hosts on David and Kim. Welcome them now for the next 3 hours. Somebody Taylor and what's his name, Rucastle, on this, the most non-ratings day of all.
Oh, yes, a very good afternoon. How old was that Peter Luck reference?
Oh, that's the oldest reference in television.
When was the last time Peter Luck did a summer filling gig?
I don't even know who Peter Luck is. It's just the mind of Chris. He's gone back. He's been studying the Bible for references to summer fillings.
He's still the default reference point. Yeah. No, if ever you want a reference, Peter Luck, he gets more work as a default reference than he does as an actual summer filling.
Exactly. Can I just make one correction from VJ's forwarding there?
Yeah.
It will not be highbrow political humour and lowbrow sexual humour.
Mm-hmm.
The political humour will, as always, be lowbrow, but the sexual humour will be incredibly highbrow.
Very la-di-da.
Oh,
on
yes.
Triple J, this is Chris and Craig. Bloody Sunday.
On the glass that wraps the telephone box, an impatient bystander knocks. The receiver put back in its place, in that certain things should be said to the face. I'm a believer. You're stripped of all your worldly pounds and staring at the opposite apartment block for hours. You say that each window's a different TV channel. Then you'd surrender all your so-called friends for flowers. And you'd rather be sleeping in the paddocks with the horses while the stars cross the skies on prescribed courses. Can you take me with you when you go? Because love is just a lazy generalization that used for 100 feelings. As many situations going through each other's pockets. It's not like us. Flattery should get you somewhere. Your happiness is just a chemical. 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 A constant feeling you're being watched. All your good intentions so clumsily botched. A kiss sent down the telephone line can come out sounding like a bug getting squashed. And grasshoppers fling erratic parabolas while you're drowning ants with your can of cola. Can you take me with you when you go? Because love is just a lazy generalization that we use for 100 different feelings. As many situations going through each other's pockets. It's not like us, and flattery should get you somewhere. And your happiness is just a chemical. Your happiness is just a chemical. Your happiness is just a chemical. It's just a chemical. Lungs are for songs and eyes are for feasting. Butter's for a bee sting. check my vital. Because love is just a lazy generalization, used for 100 feelings. There's many situations, finding things in others' pockets isn't always a plus. And that sensation that you felt off the back of the bus was just a chemical. Your happiness is just a chemical. Your happiness is just a chemical. Your happiness is just a chemical.
That is Darren Hanlon on Triple J. You are with Chris and Craig right across the country, or what's left of the country. Is there any part of the country that's not burnt at the moment? What are the latest figures there, Rick?
Look, most of it's gone. Victoria's gone. We no longer have Victoria.
Is that right?
It's gone.
So that election was probably a bit of a waste of time.
It was a waste of money if it looked forward.
Couldn't they have scheduled the bushfires first to save all that money on electoral commissions and setting up booths in schools?
My theory is it was that the Liberal Ted Baillieu, when he lost. You lose something at school. As you leave the classroom, you smash a few chairs over that kind of stuff. Same thing. He was so pissed off as he walked down. He looked at the top of it started in the north of Victoria.
Yeah.
As he walked down, pissed off, lit the fire.
Sore loser.
Disgrace.
And, of course, Ted Baillieu was the Liberal Party candidate. He'd have some mates at that top end of town. I'm thinking people like John Elliott, who would have a few firelighters on them. I mean, he's a very heavy smoker. If you just send John Elliott up to high country there around Mount Buller and so forth, just, you know, go through a pack or two, just, hey, accidentally put a couple of butts in the area. That is sore loser, Ted Baillieu. And you know, the problem, I've been in Melbourne and around Victoria this
week.
That
is a problem. No wonder people are leaving.
Talking to a lot of the fireys, like the CFA people who are combating the flames, water restrictions are proving a bugger because you're only allowed to put out fires, I think, on Saturday and Wednesday after 4 or before 10 o'clock, and that makes it very hard.
After 6 p.m., it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Very hard.
And you've got to hand water. You can't put your hose on
you
to put out
use
the fire.
A hose. No. You've got to get a watering
can.
This is
great.
You know how many watering cans it takes to put out the Grampians?
No. You've got to use your old bath water.
Right.
Everyone's got to go home. The fireys have got to have a bath before they can actually put out the fire.
Bloody hell.
Oh,
on Triple J. Now, look, that is The Good, The Bad and The Queen, which is a new Damon Albarn Danger Mouse project. Look, mark the time down, Craig. 2:10, already in our first mic break. Apparently, we've already fallen a little bit foul of the ABC management.
The new balance requirements.
There was a suggestion that we may have incurred a defamation
In saying that the leader of the Liberal Party in Victoria, Ted Baillieu, started the fires.
Is an arsonist.
Oh, okay.
And is single-handedly
you can't do that.
Responsible. So under the new guidelines, they've requested that throughout the next 8 weeks of Bloody Sunday, that Gerard Henderson, great thinking man from the Sydney Institute, co-host the program with us.
Fantastic.
Just to provide a little bit of balance. Now, Gerard, do you agree that Ted Baillieu is an arsonist?
Well, I don't think that's right.
We're all balanced.
Really? We're all balanced.
We're very balanced.
The other way to balance is not just to respond in that way, but to ensure that you're equally harsh about all the political parties. So, I mean, for instance, I could just add in that I saw Steve Brax at the AFIs the other night, and he was snorting cocaine off a hooker. I mean, in that way, see, what we've done is we've maintained balance there. You've got, okay, sure, we said that Ted Baillieu is an arsonist, but Braxy snorts cocaine off a hooker. And then people have the choice. You get those in the community who say, look, I'm really against arsonists. I don't mind sniffing cocaine off hookers. And other people, get a bit haughty about that kind of thing, very socially minded, and they think, no, it's fine to light a fire. So, no, I think we're very balanced on this program.
Can I just ask Gerard Henderson at this point, do you like to snort cocaine off hookers?
By and large, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan.
So that's a surprise. That's a great shock to me.
But at least it's balanced. So we are balanced.
It's just the most balanced program ever.
Look, just on the bushfire, I understand the Meredith Music Festival is taking place this weekend.
Yes,
and it's pretty much smack bang in a potential hotspot. And when I use the term hotspot, I think I have to say Nine hotspot. I think Channel 9's got a copyright on the term hotspot. Isn't that a wonderful innovation?
Channel 9 hotspot.
It just shows a little white dot where there used to be, a red. We used to call it cherries in my days. Now it's a Nine hotspot.
It is.
But they're suggesting Meredith is vulnerable to the flames. So if anyone has any genuine updates on that situation, if you're going to or from Meredith, or if someone like, I don't know, might be Tapes and Tapes are on stage and are lacking in the pyrotechnics department.
I know that the drummer of Tapes and Tapes listens to our show while he plays.
Well, I know. Well,
if he could give us a call.
Well, Robbie Williams is very jealous because he's got an amazing pyrotechnics show going in his stadium show at the moment. He reckons the flames going through Victoria actually top what's going down at the entertainment centres around the country.
Show off.
You are with Chris and Craig on Triple J. This is Muffin Plutonic.
Okay. Yo, we live life, walking along a thin line. Love, hate, underground and big time. Try not to get caught up in the riptide. Bedroom rapper, riding in dim lights. Plutonic making beats, way through midnight. Rumours lurk, but we work with an inside insight. They want a big divide, fist fight. I'm gonna bring my live-die approach. While they sit by with their king-size smokes with a big smile, life drifts by in floats. And so, you know, it's all politics, real politics. Work politics, school politics, friendship politics. Bullies on the block trying to force you to follow quick. More love, more hate, we choose to acknowledge this. Self-approved scholarship in the face of a hollow tip. We sit back and wait for what tomorrow brings.
Walk the walk, MCs walk the walk, but they can't talk the rhyme.
We all walk the tightropes, they may try to shoot down all of our high hopes. Every time I fall, still holding the biro. We pick ourselves up and we make a side note. We all walk the tightropes, they may try to shoot down all of our high hopes. Every time I fall, still holding the biro. We pick ourselves up and we make a side note. Fan base growing, showing support. Handshake exchange, so I know they deserve more. The pillars who put fun back into the sport. Didn't sell hunger pain, still play it in the storm. It means more when they show off their teeth. Got a smile that leaves a permanent crease from cheek to cheek. Each reach just a volunteer's hand up, achievements peaked. Believe I will stand up, pull down my socks and then pull my pants up. All the while they're trying to leave me handcuffed. Should be amped up, not getting pushed down. Reflect, double check now, take a look around. New job, newborn, new car, new uniform, new heart, new body, new start, new dawn. Your ambition is sitting in the food court. Move forward, take what's yours and just cruise forth.
Step, 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 step ahead of you. Step ahead of you.
I walk a tightrope.
Walk in the line, 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 line,
the tight ropes. They may try to shoot down all of our high hopes. Every time I fall, still holding the biro. We pick ourselves up and we make a side note. We all walk the tight ropes. They may try to shoot down all of our high hopes. Every time I fall, still holding the biro. We pick ourselves up and we make a side note. Wait a second, mate, you should be happy here. Tonight we're trying to celebrate with a beer. But it appears you're just trying to interfere in my inner ear. Trying to say it's not our biggest year, come on.
Muff and Plutonic this afternoon on Triple J. It's just gone a quarter past two. You are with Chris and Craig.
And it's a bit of a worry, this fire in Victoria. They're saying it's a new type of fire, which they can't put out. Like, they're claiming right. that it's so dry and so, you know, there's so much fuel around and that kind of thing, that it is, they can't, it doesn't slow down in the night. It's just going crazy. And you know,
this is the sort of fire that Beelzebub's always been very into.
Yes,
you know, one of those eternal fires.
Yeah. Look, in hindsight, spreading petrol all over Victoria just before summer, bad idea.
Yeah.
But you don't know those things when you're initially starting
well,
out,
look,
do you?
I only thought that was irresponsible because of the price of petrol these days.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm all for, like, putting some fuel around the place.
It was ethanol,
just
be fine.
Letting off some steam. Oh, yeah, ethanol or diesel even. No worries at all. But, I mean, that's a very excessive hobby.
You don't have enough shopper dockets for that.
This day and age of $1.50 a litre.
It is. But I saw that, you know how nowadays they've always got these little infographics on the websites, you know, on the news sites and that. And they've got an infographic of what's going to happen to the fire over the next few days in Victoria. It's quite scary. Like, it starts off as these tiny little dots.
Mm.
And then whoever.
Is that a hot spot?
Is
that a 9 hot spot?
It is the 9 hot spot. And then they join, and it literally just takes over. You know, in 4 days, it's like there's none of Victoria left. And the only thing that's apparently going to stop it is the sea. And I don't know if that'll stop this kind of fire. I mean, I'd be putting up a fire barriers if you're in Tasmania. But it leads to an interesting question about the Boxing Day test.
Mm.
I mean, those POMs. They're struggling enough.
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know if the Poms are used to battling conditions whereby the entire ground is alight.
Mm.
The MCG alight.
What's their form in flames? Like before, I mean,
well, they're going down in flames a lot at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to. Maybe it'll play into their hands.
I wouldn't be selecting Ashley Giles because he's not a Flames player, is he?
I'd be
bringing in the Indian guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd handle the hot a bit better, I reckon. Don't you reckon? It's a mountain up, it's coming down, set to blow. It's no use pretending, see the blue spots are final mode. Oh.
It's a powder keg for the pop-ups.
That when a little child asks their parents, can I Why is Thornton not serenity?
Ian Thorpe is a quitter. Naomi Robson is a quitter. Both of them gave up their gift so they could spend more time in makeup and jewelry. But two men who never say die and who never wear pearls unless they really have to are Chris Taylor and Craig Rucastle. Bloody Sunday on Triple J.
Okay, that's quite enough of that. La Tigre and Decepticon are coming off brand new one from the Datsuns with System Overload. It's 25 past two. You are with Chris Taylor and Craig Rucastle trying to relearn the ropes about how to do this business called Triple J.
We are meant to be doing this for quite a while, but I'm not going to be here next week because I'm going for the job as finance minister in the interim administration of Fiji. I read about it in the paper this morning. They're advertising the jobs.
I saw this because they're off the back of the latest Fiji coup, and I love a Fiji coup. It's all skirts and cocktails when those guys do a coup.
It's a funny joke. It's the biggest joke. Bainimarama. Look, I love the lead up to it. Like, there was about 3 weeks where everyone knew there was going to be a coup, and every day they'd just get up and go, no, not today.
Yeah,
and no, everyone just knew. It's like, you know, we're going to have a coup. When? Yeah. Well, I just, you know, I had a big night last night.
Yeah.
Then I love the bit where they're all sitting watching a football game between the police and the military before the coup occurs.
Yeah. No, they used to get the surf report on the day of the curfew. It's going, oh, swell's looking all right.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of agadoo fancy dress night at the club tonight. Yeah, so let's put it off for another week.
Exactly. Finally, they ran out of carver the night before. They went, oh, well, let's do the coup.
I know.
I mean, we might as well.
I know. Well, and I'll tell you what, the people selling skirts in that country love it when it's coup time because they burn through them. I can't tell you, what's his name? Bane
Marama.
Anyone who sounds like Bane Marie.
He sounds like
you can't, yeah. Don't you reckon he sounds like something that's heating up your sweet and sour pork?
He's as dangerous as a Bane Marie as well.
Oh, he is. Oh, he's more lethal. Almost. But, yes, no, what I loved, what you were referring to is that, because now that there's a coup, he's sort of working out his cabinet. But rather than do it the standard way that's always been done in representative democracy, where you sort of...
Or in coups,
where the leader just gets to cherry pick, you know, some of his favourites. He's put an ad in the local paper, like just in the jobs, positions vacant section.
Prime Minister, Fiji.
For cabinet positions.
Position, don't know how long it'll be going for, couple of years, you know, who knows?
You walk around the streets of Suva and on those telegraph poles, they've got little things just like you can tear off a thing and ring a number if you want to be the Defence Minister.
Given this coup, like it's going to be months to Leon answers, and then they go, oh, look, I'm going to do it part-time.
Yeah.
I've got 2 days where I reckon I could be Prime Minister, but I'm quite busy the rest of the time.
Why didn't Kevin Rudd do it this way? Like when he you know got the gig, wouldn't it have been great if you picked up your trading post, and seen a position wanted?
Well, that would have got rid of the factions, wouldn't it? Just go like that. Why didn't our military so lazy ass? We never have coups here.
No.
If the Fijian military can perform a coup, surely our military could.
I think the problem is there's not enough skirts. Triple J, that is Australian band Snowman. And look, we're just going through the talking points of the week in the Fiji coup. The leader there has decided to place a job ad to fill the remaining positions in his cabinet. I'd like to see, kind of, when I read about this, I had this vision of, like, you know, Mike Munro or someone from ACA taking the Paxtons over.
I know.
To offer them a job on Fiji? Because they turned down South Mole, but would they take a job in the Fiji cabinet? Would they have to cut their hair?
Well, this is a great idea. I think it should be unemployed, because no one is really applying for these jobs. It should be Prime Minister for the Dole. You have to do it. If you're in Fiji and you're unemployed, you know, you can't say no to the a job in the cabinet. Oh, shit, I'm Environment Minister this week. I've got to do it off my Dole diary. What did you do this week?
What sort of candidates would they be getting? I mean, in all seriousness, if you what's the job interview process? If you answer an ad, like, do you send a CV and resume in, like, previous experience? Oh, done a little bit of time at Coles, stuck in shells. Mm.
60 words per minute typing. Mm. Oh, that could be good.
Did some work experience in a sort of real estate firm to sort of, you know, that sort of style. Forestry ministry.
Exactly.
Perfect.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? An indication of what a joke this coup is, a friend of mine who's going to Fiji and has a holiday booked, and he's still just going. Like, the fact that it's a coup, it's so kind of strange and low-key that and in no way dissuaded them. I was going, you sure you're going to go? And they're going, no, what do you mean?
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, not a shot has been fired.
Two guys bizarre. Wearing Lays down by the pool.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, because you were bushwalking when this occurred, but during the actual coup, they had photos of the army going around in budget renter cars. Like, they've rented cars for the coup. Mm. You know, like, is there a coup rate? You know, do you want insurance on this? Yeah, look, I probably should get it, because I'm using the car in a coup this week.
Now, what's your mate? So, where is he going to? One of the main resorts or the beaches?
Just one of the resorts. I guess he figures.
Is it a working holiday? Like, is he in line for a job?
He can be Prime Minister.
I wonder if, like, when you fill in your immigration card, like, you know, first of all, are you a terrorist? No. Yeah. Are you interested in working, or is it? Oh, and then the next one. Would you please be interested in working? Yeah. We really need someone to bolster up Bain Maria.
Kim Beazley and Pete Casilla going over for a holiday.
Hey, Jared Henderson, pro the Fiji coup?
By and large, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
Good.
Okay.
Is that balanced? Balance.
Yeah,
balance. It's balanced.
I think we're all on the same page on that one.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, on Triple J, this is the Mountain Goats.
Yeah.
So I cleaned house today. Spent half of the morning throwing old things away. Try not to get caught. Try to think like a machine. Focus in on the task. Try not to think about what it means. Can't get you out of my head. Lost without you. Spot at the window, looked out at the road, dots and dashes of traffic, like a message in code, and whole boxes of memories, wrapped up at the curb. I sang songs to myself that didn't have any words. Lost without you. Half day.
25 to 3. That's your favourite band in the world, Craig Rucastle.
Yeah, Mountain Goats.
The Mountain Goats, right. From the latest record, Get Lonely. We heard Half Dead. Now, look, we just briefly touched then on immigration cards and so forth and entry cards.
I don't remember that, but I believe you, Chris.
No, in relation to your mate in Fiji. And none of the week's talking points was Pauline Hanson.
Shit.
No,
I can't.
Hey, balance. Jared Henderson, pro Pauline Hanson?
By and large, I'm not a fan.
Okay,
fair enough.
No, okay, we're not very balanced.
Yeah,
very
balanced. Just the talk of her return, have you seen the interviews with her? Her voice just shits me so much, I cannot handle, not even get to her policies.
Mm.
Her voice is so frustrating, that grating kind of voice, I just cannot handle. I'm allowed to leave the country if she just runs again.
Who's is more, Pauline Hanson's voice more annoying or Lara Bingles?
Ooh, tough one.
That is, yeah.
Tough.
Because I've still got a theory that Lara Bingles' voice is dubbed. You know, on that new ad, she's wearing, because I've spoken to her in real life.
Oh, this is the,
and it's very bogan, but there's this bizarre new ad where she's sort of nude, except
yeah,
wearing cricket pants.
Get your hand off my ass. Yeah. And it's hard not to say it in a bogan voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Who are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you please step away?
Yeah, but what's going on with that ad? Like, she's...
I haven't seen... Is this the cricket one?
I think it's an ad.
I've heard about it.
Ad for the Ashes. And someone in an advertising agency has decided that...
like the Queen.
No, that a common male fantasy is to see women wearing nothing but bikinis and cricket pads. Like, not even Warnie would get off on that. He likes to have a break from cricket when he's on the job.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't want cricket imagery when he's looking at girls in bikinis.
He also doesn't spend long enough with the girl to actually take the pads off. Mm. So, you know, you can't do it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Lara, she's got a very annoying voice. But
she's got a slightly annoying voice, does Pauline Hanson. I agree with you there. She should be dubbed. Pauline Hanson, if she is rerunning for...
Can we use Lara Bingles' real voice for Pauline Hanson, given that Lara's not using hers?
Because, when you watch those makeup cosmetic ads like Revlon or Estee Lauder and stuff, and the models, whenever they talk, they're so clearly dubbed.
Yeah, it's
like
it's
really. Some beautiful woman, but it's just a different voice coming out of it.
Yeah.
And I reckon if Pauline Hanson... is to ever record like another policy speech or a maiden speech or a suicide video, or the murder video, sorry, then she should get someone like, I don't know, who would you get? Someone like Lisa Hensley or someone who does a lot, Gabby Brown even. You
although
know.
If you wanted to actually match with what you're seeing when you see Pauline Hanson, you need a man to actually record the voice.
Anyway, now look, we've run slightly off topic. We were talking about immigration forms. And Pauline Hanson, she's decided she wants to spend Christmas in New York this year. You won't be surprised to hear she wants an all-white Christmas. but they're denying her a visa.
Really?
Because she was incarcerated.
It's because of her voice.
Well, no.
I guarantee you, they're saying it's because she was jailed. It's her voice.
Not even New Yorkers can stand that whine. No, the theory goes, and American authorities are reasonably tough on this issue, that if you've had a conviction and done time, they do reserve the right not to allow you into the country. Now, of course, her conviction was quashed, so she's going through the process to try and get a visa.
I hope they don't let her in, because then she can add Americans to Muslims and Africans as the people she's going to run against if she goes in the next election.
This is the thing, because you heard her comments this week.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't like Africans. Now, does she know the sort of people that live in New York City? She's seen postcards of Harlem. I think she's
got a good idea. Let's let her go and publicise it a little bit, okay?
You are on Triple J. It is 20 to 3, Bloody Sunday, on Triple J.
Yeah.
Stem cell cloning, but even our politicians drew the line at cloning Chris Taylor and Craig Rucastle, who, let's face it, are just a clone of Hamish and Andy, Merrick and Rosso, Aylan Pace, Daryl and Ozzy, Statler and Bloody Sunday on Triple J.
Every day convince myself of everything I can and can't believe. Abused, confused. Every day you feel every crime. Just stare out into space and wonder why. Afraid, deranged. Hold on to your promise. You can use it for a plus. Every day you get a little bit older and everything gets hard, you wonder why. Afraid, deranged. Every day you feel every crime and end is up and show on the parade. Abused, confused. Hold on to your promise, you can use it for a plus. Dreams get trampled in the dust. Leave now before your trick machines begin to rust.
Triple J this Sunday afternoon with Chris and Craig. Pennywise and Alien there. And we also heard Muse with Starlight. It is 10 to 3 o'clock. Any other talking points, Craig?
Well, look, just got time for some good news, Chris. You know, we like to always touch on royal stories here. Very patriotic royal program, this one. Mm. And I see that there's rumours. Rumours about the royal family. Who thought it happened? The Prince William may have already proposed or be proposing to his girlfriend, Kate Middleton.
Really?
Isn't that beautiful?
Wedding bells.
Wedding bells, and isn't that good? Apparently, he went to his father. Prince Charles said, "Is she the love of your life?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, marry someone else and screw her on the side then." When the other one dies, you can come back to her. That's the way you do it in the royal family.
Have Fleet Street been a bit unkind to Prince Will lately with Photoshop or something? Because the last few photos I've seen on him, and you know how there's always just photographers camped outside Mayfair nightclubs waiting for Prince or Harry to come out. And no one's looking their best at 4 a.m.
No.
Even in Mayfair. Yeah. You know, after a few expensive boutique beers.
I saw one where Prince Harry came out and he looked like you. It was just really? The poor guy.
That bad.
Big night.
Right. But is it just me or has Prince William lost his looks a bit? Remember he was like the handsome one. But now Harry's looking a bit, you know, more attractive.
Maybe that's why he's popping the question. He realises he's losing the looks and he's, I guess you got to think too, if you're Prince William, you got to look to your dad and go, I better quickly pop the question.
There's a thing, you know how most people, when they age, the hairline recedes? And that family, the ears widen. Like, Will's starting to get the Charles ears, I reckon. And he's just got, this sort of, and they get paler and they, like, he's looking less and less like Di. And more and more like the drunk chauffeur that ran her into a wall. Don't you reckon?
More and more like the guy who actually slept with Princess Diana.
Could they have been the father? Drunk chauffeur. He was never got to tell his story. He was too pissed.
Well, this is the thing I feel sorry for Kate Middleton, because the pressure on her would be enormous. Because remember those in Channel 7 did that countdown of the 50th greatest moments in the history of television, kind of thing. Now, remember that. The wedding, the royal wedding, was right up there, right? So she's going to have this royal wedding with Prince William. Massive rating success. Huge. Everyone's going to love it.
Mm.
But after that, she knows the only way to top it, because the only thing that rated higher was her death.
Nice to know what's in store.
Yeah, you're just going, do I want high ratings? Mm. It's a tough one.
You can plan for that.
Yeah.
This is Little Birdie and Bodies on Triple J. is Bloody Sunday, and that's from their latest album, Hollywood. Little Birdie with Bodies. Now, Craig, just on this royal wedding between Kate Middleton and Prince Will, is it just coincidence or not that I saw a promo very recently for season two of Australian Princess?
Oh, yes.
Reuniting former butler Paul Burrell and the nobody sister Fergie.
Ferguson.
I've forgotten her name.
Sarah Ferguson's sister. Or was it Sarah Ferguson?
No, I think that's her name. Sarah Ferguson's sister. But Ferguson and sister are hyphenated because in aristocracy, you've always got a hyphen, a double bunger name. So it's Ferguson's sister is the surname. They're coming back now.
That was your favourite show last year.
It was my favourite show. So you can imagine how over the moon I am to see it's not only coming back, but it's coming back in summer. And
really?
Who would have thought?
That's amazing.
Any show that comes back in summer, it's a guilty pleasure.
Are you suggesting, did Kate Middleton win UK princess to get shack up with Prince Will? Is that where it came from? Was she was it a reality TV show? And you know you got to win a date with Prince William.
Well, there's a number of theories going doing the rounds, and one is as just advanced that yeah, in the UK version of the show, she won the right. I was leaning more towards the suggestion that she could somehow step in for the Australian summer season two of Australian Princess. Just to get some pointers.
To be a consultant.
So sure, some Aussie girls will still be competing for the, you know, dribs and drabs. There must be someone in Monaco with a swollen penis who hasn't yet been married off. But you know, they're always diseased. They're always a bit weird, the royals.
That was the most brilliant description of a royal I've ever heard. There must be somebody in Monaco with a swollen penis who hasn't been married before.
I was refraining from using the word wart infested.
Apologies to anyone in Monaco with a swollen penis hasn't been married who isn't royal.
Isn't royal. No. And there are some.
There are one or two.
Did you see the Monaco census? Like, it divides anyone with a swollen penis into royals and non-royals. It's a very interesting statistical reading. But you know what I'm saying. So the Aussie girls are vying for the C-list sort of Monaco disease genitalia mob, whereas our Kate, and I think we can claim her as our Kate, we're all still
she
a Monaco.
She visited here once, no doubt.
Oh, she's seen a postcard of the Opera House or something. Will she be on? Will Paul Burrell just be able to offer some pointers about fraud?
What to do? How to pick up a fork?
Have an affair? All this kind of
that
thing.
Kind of stuff,
the typical stuff in a day of the Windsors.
How to avoid a tunnel. Just royal stuff that you need to know. I think it's a great idea, Chris. And I think if there are any disease-ridden Monaco people there, give us a call.
Yeah, Jared Henderson, do you like disease swollen penises?
By and large, I'm not a fan.
Right.
No wonder. He had one.
Oh, is that right? That is The Killers on Triple J. You are with Chris and Craig this Sunday afternoon.
I wonder if the whole Republican debate would have been different, the result would have been different, if Australia would no longer be a constitutional monarchy, had possibly the Republican Australian Republican movement used more of your terminology when describing Wales. Well, let's get rid of those Monaco swollen penis ridden people.
Mm.
I think it would have added an edge, and I think the fact that Turnbull wouldn't go there is really why we still have the Queen as our head of state today.
Turnbull lost the battle of language.
He did.
He was very, very stiff, very formal.
All that kind of stuff about the Constitution didn't cut through.
No.
People were going, "What? I don't understand the constitutional thing." So Whitlam was sacked. But if they'd known about what a royal really was, then I think it would be different.
There's a big new hit movie starring Helen Mirren called The Queen. It's been brilliantly reviewed, and I think it did. It's done the festival circuit at Cannes and that kind of thing. I haven't seen it, but wouldn't the poster for the film have been more interesting if instead of the face of, Helen Mirren, had just been an enormous wart-encrusted member?
It would have been different. It would have been. It is the truth, though, that show you say, The Australian Princess, is hysterical. The fact that they get all these Australian, young girls from around Australia to compete, to have a date with some, Polish prince with 12 counts of statutory rape or something. Like, it's always some...
Oh, hang on. So I can have a go at the appendage, but you've just brought up their court criminal conviction record.
Well, I checked up the statutes, and Polish law doesn't apply here.
Right.
But it's an extraordinary kind of thing. And there's always some, they haven't... They're 300 steps from the actual crown, and there hasn't been an actual monarchy in that country for 300 years.
Mm.
It's an extraordinary idea.
Was there any ever... You know how whenever a reality show finishes, you never get the...
Like, follow-up.
The epilogue?
Yes.
Or the did anyone find out what whoever won last time?
Yeah. Did she marry the prince?
Yeah, well...
Or did she just get filled up once at a castle and sent back to Australia?
On a good night. What happened? Did they hit it off at all? Was it very awkward small talk?
Australian Prince is the follow-up.
Yeah.
Now, there is a show that couldn't be done in summer, though. It's too big a hit.
Oh, that's too big. Do you think Dicko's just sort of on ice?
He's holding it.
He's come back to Channel 10 especially. Like, forget all this idol talk. He wants to find out how swollen that penis was with the guy with statutory rape counts. If anyone knows how that date got on from the last season one winner, give us a call, 1-300-055-536.
The brother's going to work it out. The brother's going to work it out. The brother's going to work it out. The brother's gonna 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 work it out.
Very good afternoon. It is 3:05. You're listening to Bloody Sunday on Triple J with people that used to know how to do this for a living. It's been a bit rusty today. Chris Taylor and Craig Rucastle. That's yes. The Chemical Brothers with Leave Home.
And just before we got onto the sexual diseases of the royalty throughout the world, we were briefly talking about Prince William apparently possibly getting married to Kate Middleton. Apparently she's quite laid, but she's quite a down-to-earth girl. I wonder if you marry a royal like a prince and just go to the wedding registry. You know, not go to the big wedding. I go, look, I've always had Elvis wedding.
Elope to Vegas.
Vegas, exactly.
Many royals have done that. I think Margaret got the closest, but even she was denied.
I know. The enormous thing, you know, you got to get in the horse and cart and go through the streets of St. Peter's or whatever it is, Paul's Cathedral. Very boring wedding, a lot of money blown. I wonder, can you do the more low-key thing? Just get the horse and carriage to drop you off at the wedding registry. And then down to the pub for drinks afterwards.
Just really casual. Just a few close friends around. You probably wouldn't even invite the Queen. She's a bit boring.
Yeah.
Boring. A few mates.
Can you opt out?
Uni mates.
I mean, you can still put it on a tea towel. Yeah. Because that's, of course, the other requirement is it goes on a tea towel.
Biscuit tin, but instead of the official, images, like your real bogan piss up at the hen's night.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone around the keg down at the party.
With a stripper from Monaco getting it all out. You could still go. I've never been to Vegas, but a mate of mine just got back and he said it is literally, they pretty much recreated every good thing of the world, like all the landmarks, like the Manhattan skyline, that's just there. I think the Hanging Gardens of Babylon are also in Vegas. So surely someone would have a Secure Boulevard. I don't think it's quite made. It's coming. That's coming. It's the next, the new Bellagio. But surely someone could just whip up a replica of Westminster Abbey or St. Paul's Cathedral and even outdo it. Like, you know, go for broke and make it four times as big. So if they still wanted to do the Vegas wedding with Elvis or who would they, maybe a Robbie Williams impersonator, which would be very attractive.
This sounds more modern. This is how to get people back to the royals. I'm sure Australians would love a lot more.
I agree.
I think it's the way to go. I mean, a lot of Australians nowadays don't even go the tea towel off their way. I know I chose the non-tea towel. Nowadays I can never dry my dish with my face in it.
Yeah, why didn't you do the tea towel?
I know, look, it's a tough call.
Because, you know, my parents put out a commemorative tea towel when they got divorced, when they got married. But, you know,
exactly. We just do one of the birth, when our child.
Oh, you got that, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty icky photo to really
teaspoons, all that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's good because you can clean up the vomit of the child wearing his own vision. Yeah, exactly. Or using the tea towel of the kid. It's good. I'd like to go, I don't know who they've already got in mind to do the MC work at their wedding. Because, you know, it's always good to get a funny mate, you know, to do the MC work. I reckon Koshy would be perfect because he's got some wonderful jokes up his sleeve.
He does.
I've only sort of half been across his gaff this week, but he told a pretty blues story.
Yeah, a joke about, about
John and Jeanette.
John and Jeanette, and also Kim Blees was involved.
Very political material.
It was suggesting that Jeanette Howard in some way may have been holding the penis of Kim Beazley while writing John Howard is a dork in the snow.
Well, that's just absurd. No one would want to hold Kim Beazley's penis. But you've seen the polls. I mean, that's just unrealistic. Kevin Rudd, maybe.
I know.
You know, Julia Gillard, if she had one. But no one's holding big Kim. But what was the criticism? Because I missed the show. Was it that it was too political or just too blue?
Yeah, it was. It was the suggestion, I think. It was basically in the end, it wasn't about politics or any of that. It was just the suggestion in any way to get in your head Jeanette Howard in any sexual position.
Oh,
it was just made people sick.
Not good for ratings.
It was over your breakfast cereal. It was a tough one.
You wouldn't see Sarah Murdoch doing that over on Today. She'd be very clean and down the line.
She's starting now, isn't she?
I think she's on board. But if Koshy is in the game for our emceeing the Royal Wedding of the Year, because the blue...
You just emceed your brother's wedding.
Yeah.
Could you use the gags? Would they cross over?
Oh, I think so.
Could you do the Royal Wedding?
Koshy's got a book out. It's called Koshy's Best Jokes. And it's a bit of a misnomer because none of them are Koshy's. Like, they're all sent in by viewers and stuff. It's probably just one viewer who works in a Christmas cracker factory. Just the ones he can't get up for Christmas crackers he sends on to Sunrise. There. But I just wondered if Koshy was going blue, you know, because he'd like to go a bit more late night. Because he feels very constricted in that breakfast time slot. And Midnight Zoo? Is that still on?
I don't know.
But Koshy in a bikini, doing
Koshy
some of that
bikini,
blue
doing
material.
The blue material, doing the urine jokes with Jeanette Howard.
Yeah, because he's shackled on Sunrise. See, but if we saw the real Koshy, like, you know, at 1 a.m.
That's what summer television's all about, people. Channel 7, come on, you've got all those billions now. That's to invest. invest.
It is 3:10. You are with Chris and Craig on Triple J.
And it's not getting any cheaper. I'll wear the cost around like a wound, and I'll try not to bleed all over you.
It's a lazy Sunday afternoon across Australia. The cricket's already become boring. Kevin Rudd's already washed up. And Glenn Milne is already on to his 14th bottle of red. It's just another bloody Sunday on Triple J.
Travel down.
to the Bees here on Triple J this afternoon. They've got a record out called Octopus. That's the first taste from it. Left Foot Step Down. We also heard Mr. Josh Pike in there. You are doing Bloody Sunday this afternoon on Triple J.
You know how at the moment everyone's gone global warming crazy and it's all about...
Well, not everyone. John Howard and George W. Bush don't seem to be as interested in it as your Al Gore's.
John's very happy as long as it means putting up a nuclear power plant, as far as you can tell. Yeah, but it's kind of everywhere now, and everyone's talking about, you know, we're going to cut back. And yet at the same time, I feel like now everywhere you go, people are pushing petrol on you. You know, you've had these kind of vouchers at your supermarkets where you get 4 cents off petrol and that.
Yeah.
It's now got to the fact that the more you spend, the more you get off. Like, you can get 10 cents off if you spend over $80 or something. It's just everywhere you go. Like, I think you should have actual bowsers.
What? So there's incentives to buy up big
at your supermarket.
At your retail supermarkets like Coles and stuff.
To get more and more off petrol. Oh. It's just all about petrol. Like, nowadays, you never even say, it's not like we've got the best milk here. It's just, how much petrol can you get for this shop?
How much would you need to buy? How many trolleys full of groceries to get petrol for free?
If you just went in
and bought everything off the shelves.
You should, if you do a really big shop, if you're a once-a-month shopper, you should get an oil field. Mm. You should just get a little patch of Iraq.
I had a grandmother. She's no longer with us, so she won't mind me defaming her. She used to do a once-a-year shop. Like, I'm not joking, like, she was a real, like, bunker mentality, like, it could be doomsday.
It's always the war.
And it was the big outing, like, she'd dress up for it. She'd get her best granny shopping trolley, you know, those old granny carts.
That's been a hell of a car.
Well, it was massive, but she used to rope in friends, like Thelma and Vera and Audrey, and they'd all, it was a once a year for treats. Like, I think she did staples, like milk and bread, but
the rest of it was pretty much tinned, I presume.
Her Kingston Bickies, she only bought them once a year, like, as the treat for when the grandkids come over. Gee, they were stale. They'd gone off by February. You were around there in November. They were awful Kingstons.
That's because she knew the war was coming.
Yes.
If you've lived through that kind of thing, it changes you, Chris.
But she would have got a lot off her fuel.
She would have got a shitload.
Not that she needed to back in 1920, because it was pretty cheap back then.
But this is the thing. I mean, I think you should actually have a bowser at the counter at your supermarket. As you come through, you bring a jerry can with you.
That's all right.
And it's just everything, you go, another Mars bar, and you go, if you take another one, I can really top this baby up.
That's good.
So just back the car up.
Would you put it just near the, you know, where the mags are, the trash mags, your woman's Day in NW? Because then it doubles where you could just douse those and set those on fire.
Set those on fire.
The latest cover of Nicole.
But I thought, people like you don't have a car. How shafted are you? Everything's geared towards petrol nowadays. Like, do you just buy your petrol cheap? What do you do?
Well, I do feel a little bit neglected.
Because you're subsidising the car, the guzzlers like myself.
So, yeah, when I do a shop, no one's subsidising, like, my sneakers for all the walking that I might do to get from A to B.
Yeah, or your bus fees.
All my bus tickets.
You should have 10 cents of your bus ticket.
10 cents off my little Metro 10 ticket, which I validate in some cities but not others. Because, you know, that's the loophole. Melbourne.
Exactly.
Melbourne.
No one ever pays for public transport in Melbourne.
Yeah, go for it. You know, you wouldn't need it there. But you're quite right. Walkers amongst us.
As you get serious at these things and make it so that, you know, if you're going to not just encourage people to drive cars, to do other stuff.
Yeah. Would it be self-serve if you did have your bowser at the check-in? Would the 12-year-old kid working behind the counter, would he do the work? Or would you be allowed to sort of pull your own, as it were?
I think the 12-year-old kid's got to do it.
You reckon?
Yeah. I think definitely. They're the people with the expertise, and then they can make sure you don't rip off petrol, because petrol is the money of today, isn't it?
It is.
I don't carry cash anymore.
It's the new currency.
I just carry jerry cans with me and a little sachets.
I know, because, you know, the coalition's been so big about getting Malcolm Turnbull, the water portfolio. Mm. Kevin Rudd's, you know, he's talking about creating a petrol portfolio. I don't know who he's got in mind for it. Maybe Peter Garrett or someone.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he's done a lot of beds of burning, oils, all of that. There's a natural link between
midnight oils.
And petrol. So if we, you know, in the new front bench, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a minister for petrol.
You have 20 cents off.
Give signs if you wanna come by.
Ash Grunwald this afternoon on Triple J with the title track from Give Signs. No surprises there, called Give Signs. He's playing the Pyramid Rock Festival on New Year's Eve. If you want to get along, 25 past three, we are doing Bloody Sunday with Chris and Craig, and just another talking point that's come across the news desk.
Talking point.
I love a good talking point.
A talking point, right?
I've been watching a bit of Fox News. Like, everything's a talking point.
Talking point, okay.
Tell me if this qualifies as a talking point. There's an Australian pilot, a commercial airline pilot, who's been jailed. He flew for Emirates, the United Emirates airline, and he was jailed because he was found to be seven times over the legal alcohol limit on a flight. This is the guy in charge.
And I presume he wasn't sitting back at the back. He was in the cockpit.
He's up front. He's up front, one hand on the rudder, so to speak, and another hand, obviously, on a bottle of liquor. Now,
did they pull him over, like, when he was flying? How do they do it?
I've had a window seat. I've never seen RBTs up at, 30,000 feet. How do they test him? We're going to
be going the back way to Australia. I'm a bit pissed. We're going the other road.
Don't worry, I know a good route. Yeah, they won't get me this way.
It's only suspicious as we go past the RBT.
It was pretty odd. He went through duty-free, and he pretty much demolished all the shells. A bit like my grandmother style. He had four trolleys worth of liquor just boarding the flight. The alarm bell should have been raised.
He clearly had the I'm the designated pilot sticker on as well, so people should have known. I think he gave it away when he did donuts on the tarmac.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's a giveaway when he's...
And he had a novelty horn. And he was just doing, just when he's touching down at Heathrow.
The captain's message was, what are you looking at, mate?
Yeah,
exactly. Okay. Well,
it was a pretty slurred announcement speech. Yeah.
Yeah, good. It's Captain speaking. Pass me the beer nuts.
The real giveaway was when the in-house meal that came through the plane was all kebabs.
It was.
It's a giveaway. Your pilot's a bit pissed when that's.
I heard he rerouted the plane. Like, originally it was meant to stop in Singapore. He stopped down in Turkey to get a really good kebab. He wanted the top kebab. He was that pissed. But look, I mean, you can on the one hand, you could say it's irresponsible for a pilot to fly a plane if you're seven times over the legal alcohol limit.
That's one view.
That's one view in this age of balance. I mean, you've got a feel for the guy. I mean, we've all been on those long-haul flights.
Everyone else is pissed.
Yeah, it's the only way to get through it. Not all of us get prescriptions for, these Normacin or Rohypnol or whatever.
Would you rather he took a sleeping tablet? Mm. Is that what you want him to do to get through the long flight?
The one privilege is free booze on a flight.
I know.
And I think the pilot should be entitled.
And he's got really shitty seats up the front there. Because, your first class is quite nice and spread out, I believe. But up in that cockpit, they've got all these instruments around you. It's very confined. You've got to sit right next to the co-pilot and the navigator sitting behind you.
You've got all these kids coming in. Wanting to see the instruments.
Exactly, wanting to sit on your lap. It's a tough time,
I
guess. Have some compassion for the poor pilot.
I mean, what does a pilot want to do if he wants to go for Booney's record? Do we discriminate and say you're not allowed to go for the record and get 52 beers from Sydney to Heathrow?
Think of this poor guy. He's eating airline food every single day.
He needs something to wash it down with.
Run, think fast. Catch up with you.
in a minute now. Cause it's not my style to cover up, so hurry up any minute now. Names you drop, reverberate and deafen me. Can you hear me?
Soul Wax and Any Minute Now this afternoon on Triple J. Now, this pissed pilot is an Aussie pissed pilot. But
yeah, let's claim him as one of our own,
it's
mate.
It's probably tautological to use the words Aussie and pissed. But I think we can connect the dots on that safely enough, can't we?
It does marvels for our reputation overseas.
Yeah, he's been jailed only seven times over the legal alcohol limit on a route for Emirates Airline.
It was an easy flight, though. It was a straight flight. You don't need to be sober for a straight flight like that. Well, I mean, it's simple.
How much is there to do?
I mean, once you take off and you land, the rest is just, it's autopilot.
I would have thought so. And there's about two other guys up there with you, aren't there?
I know.
So, I mean, how hard can it be?
The air hostess or whatever they're called now could bloody take off.
I always remember that image.
You can always get someone from Al-Qaeda to do the taking off part because they've always learnt that part. Excuse me, is there anyone from Al-Qaeda on board? Could you just get me off the ground? I'll be fine for the rest of the way.
Wasn't it? I thought they did. They only wanted to learn flying. They weren't good at takeoffs or landing.
I thought they only learned.
Well, they learned takeoffs.
I thought that, they weren't interested in landing for some reason.
Okay, if you're from Al-Qaeda, you can just clarify this for us. Which part of the flying did you learn? I know they certainly weren't so keen on landing.
Yeah.
Redundant.
You know, that's a possible. I like the idea. I love September 11 conspiracies. You know, there's always conspiracies. It was the CIA. It was George Bush did it so they could go into Iraq.
It was Koshy. A viewer sent in the idea, though. Yeah. It wasn't his fault.
Oprah Winfrey did it so she could have a 9/11 victim show or something like that.
Bindi Irwin looking for more publicity.
Exactly. It was just piss pilots. It's a cover-up.
Oh.
Cover up the fact that there's just all these. It was the Pilots Association dinner the night before.
Hello.
All these pissed pilots on. Yeah. Bashing into the tyres. Can we cover it up with some story about the Muslims?
Can we check the aviation calendar in the year 2001 around the September period? Because they were all taking off from around the same area. Mm. Are you telling me there wasn't a convention where there was free booze put on?
If I put this theory out in French, it would go crazy. Mm. It'd be all over the internet. It'd be a movie, hit movie in no time.
I'm for it. Just for balance, Jared, do you agree that it was 9/11 caused by drunk pilots?
Well, I don't think that's right.
Oh, balance.
Balance.
Good balance, Jared.
Balance.
Thank you.
I think you're onto something. Or at the very rate, even if it is true, this so-called theory about terrorists banging down the... you know that nutcase theory?
That nutcase theory.
About a couple
and what have we seen? What evidence have we seen so far?
Oh, no, nothing. Islamic fundamentalists. Imagine that, busting down the door and flying into a couple of commercial buildings. Even if that's true, I mean, if that did happen, if there was a risk of that... Mm. You would want to hit the bottle, wouldn't you?
Oh, exactly.
You'd be pretty...
You'd want to be a piss pilot.
You'd want to be pretty pissed.
You want your pilot to be pissed so that when you do get your Al-Qaeda terrorist breaking in, he's up for a fight.
Absolutely.
He's ready for a blue.
You, me, car.
I'll take you on,
if
mate.
If you ever reach a car park, I'll take you down in one.
Kids across the world will soon be getting to know and love the Beige Wiggle, Chris Taylor, the Pooh Brown Wiggle, Craig Rucastle, and their brand new friend, the all-white Wiggle, Pauline Hanson, every bloody Sunday on Triple J.
You are my sweetest downfall. I loved you first, beneath the sheets. Your head. eyes of wonder bright and went right back to bed. And history books forgot about us, and a Bible didn't mention us, and a Bible didn't mention us, not even one.
What did you think of that, Jared Henderson?
By and large, I'm not a fan.
Oh, Jared.
Geez, very hard to please, Jared, isn't he? That's from our feature album, funnily enough, at Triple J. Regina Spektor with Samson. Also in there, we heard Faithless and Bombs. It's 20 to 4 this afternoon. We're doing Bloody Sunday with Chris and Craig. Have we got any more talking points this week?
Well, there's been a bit of lot. There's been this big, this great little survey that's been going around. The papers have been loving it about good-looking politicians. Do we vote more? Are we more likely to vote for good-looking politicians?
Oh, some quite hoity-toity sort of academic from the Australian National University in Canberra, the ANU. And you know, you always expect fairly boring papers to come out of that kind of, you know, the ivory towers. But they devoted all their research on judging hot or not
for politicians.
Well, you'd expect that from the Herald Sun or something, but not necessarily from your ANU types.
Well, it's good to have some figures to back it up, Chris, isn't it? Oh, what I loved about it is, firstly, they said, which I think is wrong, that we apparently are more likely to vote for good-looking politicians. Have you looked around at our politicians? Like, did he look at them before he did this study? But what I also loved is they had a little graph where it kind of rated all the politicians, like 1, 2, 3, 4, on how good-looking they were. So you could kind of look at the politicians and go, where am I?
Measured or opinion poll?
Opinion poll, right. I think, and based on how good-looking. And it was very strange. I mean, Beasley was well ahead of Rudd in terms of good-looking.
Beasley was ahead.
Yeah. And
it's the only poll he's ever been ahead of Rudd in.
Tony Abbott was quite high up the good-looking scale. So I think this academic should probably go back to the drawing board.
Well, as you said, it's pretty slim pickings. The one I'm always amused by, the one they always use as the example of a good-looking politician is Kate Ellis from the ALP. I think she might be from South Australia.
She's South Australian, yeah.
And you know how whenever you watch Question Time, that's a silly statement, whatever it is. Yeah. People are always watching Question Time.
Yeah. Well, no, Chris, yes. Oh, yes, Chris, I do.
Yes. No, yeah. Why is an ABC 2 just running Question Time 24 hours a day? No, what I mean is, like, when you see grabs on the news taken from Question Time, it's always very strategic where they put Kate Ellis on the ALP.
She's always behind the leader.
Literally, and that's not coincidence.
No, I don't think it is. Mm. There you go. They obviously back up the thing that better-looking politicians are more likely to vote for, whereas I think it's the opposite. I think John Howard and Kevin Rudd show us that we want a nerd. And there was an article I saw today in The Australian saying, you know, nerds are good, we go for nerds. And I think it's got to the point with Kevin Rudd and John Howard.
They're not dissimilar looking, are they?
No, this is it. I reckon it's mini-me. Kevin Rudd is bloody John Howard's mini-me. It's the younger version.
I'm you 20 years from now.
I know, that could be. Like, I think the ALP, when Howard got in, took some DNA, scratched it off the seat or something, and have been developing Rudd in some laboratory somewhere.
Because for too long, I mean, Beazley was so obsessed with copying Howard's policies. And what he really should have been focusing on is copying his look.
Exactly.
And this is where Kevin Rudd's been a genius.
We hate his policies.
Oh,
he's been a shit prime minister, but he's a looker. That's what we want. We want our policy to look like that dude.
Bring it on, and Julia Gillard, I'd get to the plastic surgeon now to make you look like John Howard too. Imagine the double ticket. Eyebrow.
Is she meant to look like Stella?
On Triple J, the butterfly effect. You are with Chris and Craig.
We've just revealed that Kevin Rudd, of course, is a love child of Howard.
They're not the love DNA child.
That's why Rudd must have voted against therapeutic cloning. He knows what it's like to be brought up in a test tube. That's where he's come from.
Is he the first test case?
He's a test case.
Of a clone.
Of clone of John Howard. He's like Dolly the sheep. That's why, because he looks a little bit older than he is.
Yeah, he does.
It's the premature aging, like Dolly the sheep, that comes from cloning. Oh, this is all coming together.
And he bows a lot like a sheep, and like sort of a lot of a Me Too attitude that you often find in Labor Party. So if the Libs present one policy, they go, "Yeah, us too. We also think immigrants are bad."
Although Rudd seems to be occasionally going a new policy, which is radical approach, because he's got the look. He doesn't have to go Howard's policies. He's got the look down pat. He can go for it.
Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts.
Exactly. Well, if it's not therapeutic cloning, could it be that he is the love child of Howard? I mean, you know, the Tony Abbott scandal was out there.
Oh.
But if Rudd turns out to be the illegitimate child of a love tryst with John Howard...
And Mrs. Menzies.
Mrs. Menzies.
Something like that.
Oh, God. You see, that would really fire up the next election.
It would. Well, I was actually chatting with some of the other Chaser guys the other day. We're talking... about politicians' names and how you can tell if one's going to cut through with the people or not. Because when you think of Hawkey and Braxy, you can put a Y on the end of their name.
Braxy, Hawkey.
But you can't do that with Rudd. Ruddy.
Ruddy.
Like, it doesn't really work.
It's true.
If you can't put a Y on the end of your surname, you're never going to be a political leader in this country.
Well, only for the Labor, because you can't exactly say Howdy.
Howdy. But he gets Johnny a bit, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, Johnny.
Even if
you can't go Kevin-y, can you? I do think it would be
great. Let's try and get Kevin-y up.
Kevin-y.
In the political posters, who's doing these? Is it John Singleton doing their act? Let's just call him Kevin-y.
It's funny how, like, I've never thought of him as Kevin. You even think of Rudd. You know, Rudd, you always think Rudd, you know, he's quite serious in that. Mm. As soon as you call him Kevin, it's suddenly totally different, you know. You imagine him, he is going to get the Queensland vote. He's going to be in the, you know, a ute doing donuts there with a bit of 4X gold in the back, or 4X, sorry.
Getting excited about things Big Kev style.
Yeah.
Like, that's all Kevin Bloody Wilson. So maybe he could mark himself as Big Kevin-y. Big Kevin-y.
The ruddy bloke.
This'll work. The ALP just might survive. Big Kevin-y coming to a polling booth near you. British India, black and white radio.
Is that a talking point?
Oh, I wouldn't say the back announcers are a talking point. I mean, it's some...
Mate, the things that have made it to your talking point status today...
I think on Kingsmill's show, which is coming up at 5, by the way, like any of that musical business, like the announcing of song, that would be a talking point.
It's a talking point.
Here it falls a bit by the wayside, that side of the equation, I'm afraid. But what I was going to say, Rudd's got it ahead of Beasley, because you can't put a Y on the end
of a name that's already got a Y on.
Oh, no, no, no.
Beasley EE.
No, no, no. He was initially Kim Beazel.
Oh, was he?
That is the Y.
Oh, so was
that's like... Labor's attempt to get him, make him kind of folksy.
Is that right?
Beazel. Kim Beazel.
It was Beazel. Beazel the Weasel. Gee, well, that's got a whole new perspective. Now, look, we've got, I think Clive's given us a buzz. Are you there, Clive?
Yeah, I'm here.
And very good afternoon to you. How are you this bloody Sunday?
Very, very tired.
Oh, no, well, poor bastard. What's been happening?
Oh, I did a Sydney run last night. I'm on the way back now.
Oh, fair enough. Any smoke about?
Sorry?
Any smoke about?
Not quite at Albury yet, so I'll, it's not too bad at the moment. Okay. Pretty messy on the way up, though.
Yeah, I bet.
Jeez.
Yeah,
you'll get it. Now, look, you've got a suggestion. We're trying to get Rudd a bit more of a blokey nickname.
Yeah, well, I thought we've now got some Rudd running the Labor Party.
Sorry?
Oh, Crud.
Crud. Yeah. Oh, K. Rudd. Kevin Rudd. Yeah. Crud. I like it. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
We'll leave that to history to decide.
Yeah. Dave, you got a couple of other suggestions?
Yes, yes. Rudd-o or Rudzy would definitely do.
So that's the way we can bloke it up. Rudd-o.
Rudd-o.
Rudzy.
That's the beauty of being Australian. Like, we can take a name and nickname it in any fashion.
In any way. Yeah. What can you do with Rucastle, Dave? See, it's a bit of a tough one, Rucastle.
Rucastle.
That's my last name. Fix it up.
You get Rui.
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 Exactly,
you go really short.
Exactly, there you go.
And what have you got for Gillard?
Gelato, it'd be Gillo.
Gelato. Sounds a little bit like an Italian ice cream.
Well, Gilly. Just name her after cricketer. I mean, if you can't name her after cricket, that'll get her over the line.
Gilzo, Gilly. Oh, Gilzo, Gilly.
Thanks very much for helping out. Just quickly, I guess, you know, we need to, might as well, while we've got you, do a quick poll. I think every other newspaper that's been released this weekend's done a poll.
Mm.
Do you reckon Rudd can do it, or do you think Howard's a shoo-in, regardless of who goes up against him?
I reckon Ruddo's just another Howard, and, you know, we don't have much of a choice as far as any of them are concerned.
Mm. So who do you think's going to win?
Which version of Howard will get up?
It's tough to say. I reckon Johnny stayed this long. I reckon he'll keep going.
Johnny, there you go. 100% of Bloody Sunday listeners polled said John Howard would win the next election. There's the front page.
Jared Henderson.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Jared, what do you think?
Well, I don't think that's right.
Bloody Jared. I thought he'd like that.
Oh,
Sunday on Triple J.
That's in fade-out mode now, isn't it? But, yeah. No, they're wrapping that up. You sometimes you can't tell if there's going to be that last burst. But no.
This is the end. I often wonder when you... The certain song's carried on an extra 34 seconds. You just think, do you get paid more if you do that? Like if you just repeat, you know, the chorus 12 times at the end, just do you get more?
Look, they're upping their apra fee because I think it's... paid by time on
by
air.
The second.
So the song's well and truly over, but I'll just do a coda for a few more bars just to bump up the royalties. Moloko, the time is now, and Death from Above, 1979 before them. We heard a track from the Romance, Bloody Romance record called Blood on Our Hands. Look at the time. It's already 4:05. Chris and Craig here on Bloody Sunday.
Doesn't time fly when you're full of shit?
With you for another hour or so before Richard Kingsmill's competent hands take over the deck and restore some order to this station. But look, it's been too long. We've got another talking point there.
Oh, talking point. Is it going to be talking points next
Sorry,
week?
Sorry, we've got a mumbling point. Something like that.
Yeah, look, I've noticed that there's a big report out on sex education. Been a bit of a study into it. Apparently,
did Madonna write the report? Who's the author? Nikki Gemmel?
It's anonymous, yes.
Is this a study group that George W. Bush commissioned that he'll just reject? Who's written the report?
I don't know. What is this?
Is
this talking about a fact point now? Look, but
I'll try and bring some facts to the table. When we enter these,
it has been done by the University of Western Sydney Social Justice and Social Change Research Centre.
Thank you,
Chris.
That's the context.
Do you want to say it slower so people can write it down?
Jared Henderson requires that because he doesn't like triviality, do you?
By and large, I'm not a fan.
See?
No, he's against any sex education. But look, you'll be interested by these stats, particularly more than 50% of boys and 30% of girls engage in sexual activity before they turn 16.
That is
getting before 16.
It's an interesting stat.
Now, either the guys are talking up their sexual conquests, or some of the girls are obviously doubling up to get those numbers going. That's your first thing there. But apparently, what I found quite interesting about this report is that apparently kids want a more in-depth sexual education at school. They're sick of just being taught the mechanics of it. They're pretty much, by the time they get to high school, they know it's penis, vagina, this kind of stuff.
They're sick of books and slideshows.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you're saying? They want to get a little bit more physical.
They want more difficult questions. They want the more difficult social questions that surround sex to be answered for them. You know, like, how do you avoid the wet spot? These kind of difficult questions, like, how do you, when you get to that morning and you don't know the name of the person you're with from the night before, how do you discover it? Like, you know, do you rifle through the bag? That kind of stuff.
At what hour in the morning is it appropriate to get that cab charge out and suggest the person might like to go home?
Yeah, exactly. You know, do you need to do the, like, if you want to get out of the morning, in the next morning, do you do the groundwork the night before? Oh, I've got a big day at work tomorrow.
Yeah, what time do you start suggesting that you've got a very busy day ahead of you and you mightn't be able to hang around the whole box and dice until dawn?
How do you ensure at school this week that you have sex with someone every hour? You know, these difficult social questions are what needs to be answered. And it surprises me they want them answered at school. Like, this is how out of touch parents must be, because they want them to come from your school lesson.
Look, how busy is Lara Bingle? I mean,
she's a virgin, Chris.
But she'd be a perfect spokeswoman.
For virginity?
To come in just a bikini and cricket pads to talk to kids about these issues. I mean, I know she's run off her feet promoting Australia.
I know.
And, you know, using the word bloody a lot. But I'd like to think that if she does have any time left in a week, if she could visit schools, and I'm talking, you know, public schools probably, because I think the private schools get far too much sexual hands-on experience from their teachers.
From the priests.
Exactly, yeah. But so public schools are the people who are losing out here. And if Lara and Koshy, who could come in with some blue material.
Explain.
And then Lara wearing the cricket pads.
How to use the penis to write in the snow.
Yeah.
This kind of the things that surround sex, I think it's a great idea. Because these are difficult things. It's strange, though, that you would get this taught at school. My teachers, my science teachers that taught sex education, they were never a broader spectrum of people who clearly had never had sex in their life.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going, why are you teaching me this?
You can tell by the shade of brown on the pants or skivvy that the maths teacher wore, but like how many times he'd had sex.
Exactly.
If it was poo brown, he's a virgin. Yeah.
That poo brown safari suit suggests maybe I shouldn't be taking these sexual tips from you.
I had a science teacher who, it's always science, isn't it, for some reason. It was one day of the year of the school curriculum that was devoted to it. It was always a very sheepish, awkward occasion. The students weren't into it, the teacher wasn't into it. But he was a famous science teacher around the traps in our school because none of his science experiments worked. Like, you know, whenever you'd have to do a chemistry, like, he was the guy that blew up beakers and test tubes, nothing worked. There was always explosions and evacuations. So when it came to sex education, and he's pulling out, like, you know, condoms. Everyone's standing back because we didn't want those to explode because his track record was so appalling.
Do you blame this science teacher for anything, Chris?
Oh, you might have a bit of answering to do, this science teacher. Hey, this is great. This is the new one for the Decemberists on Triple J.
To the game, and you say you can't break away, but I'm here with my hands on my heart, and our families can't agree. I'm your brother, sworn enemy, but it shouts out my love to the
great album, the new one for the Decemberists. It's called The Crane Wife, and that is O Valencia. 12 past four this afternoon with Chris and Craig. You know, we just mentioned Lara Bingle there.
You've been mentioning Lara Bingle all day.
It's been a bit of a Bingle fest today, hasn't it? And that's accidental. That's not reflective of my, you know, fantasies or anything like that. She's just been in the news because that was what I was reminded about. She's been in court all week.
Really?
Lara Bingle, who is a bikini model, has taken Zoo magazine to court for suggesting they've somehow tarnished her image as a smutty girl.
Yes, I know. She's now, also Ralph magazine. She's also got the shits with because they put pictures of her on the front. Because what happened was she did photographs of herself in bikinis when she was 16, which were of course for study purposes,
the early years,
which were part of her HSC study.
I prefer
and
her
now,
early material.
Now they're using them in some way to suggest she's some kind of bikini model.
I know.
I mean, you can't take old photos of a girl taken by photographers as, you know, for modelling purposes and use them on the front of magazines.
No.
That's ridiculous.
That's not right. What I liked, you know how whenever you see defendants leave a court, they've normally got a suit jacket over their head. Lara just had a bikini over her head.
I know. And those will be used out of context again.
I know.
Poor Lara.
They'll be unfair.
That's very hard to cover your whole identity just with a thin bikini. She had a cricket pad, I think, also.
Oh, she's had it. Yeah. Well, this is it. You've got to be able to read into the bikini she's wearing. Mm. Like, clearly the bikini she was wearing then was not one meant for distribution on the magazines.
No.
Whereas the one she wears on the Advertising Australia ad is a very respectful Australian bikini. Mm. And the one she wears on the cricketing ad is another bikini totally.
Mm.
You've got to be able to look at the distinctions there.
There's highbrow bikinis.
There is.
And then
there's intellectual bikinis.
There's intellectual sort of Jean-Paul Sartre bikinis. And then there's your more zoo weekly bikini.
Exactly.
And Lara understands the distinction. It's just a pity more lawyers and
more magazines
readers
don't do. Exactly. Did you see Damian Martin resigned?
He did a Naomi Robson.
He did it by email.
He shocked everyone. Damian Martin
resigned from the test team.
The Australian cricketer, yeah.
And do you know why?
Lara Bingle stole his pads.
Lara Bingle. Bigger than that. Lara Bingle, replacement.
Oh.
I mean, her form in the advert with the pads on was such that they've noticed she's got quite a good sweep shot.
Wonderful and, cut shot, too.
I know. A lot of talk about Shane Watson. Not going to happen, people.
Right.
Bingle in the team.
Is that right?
I think so.
Did Warnie have a word to Martin to say, hey, step aside, pal?
Yes.
I reckon it's time for Lara to fill that number four spot.
She's considered to be an all-rounder. She bats, she bowls, and she sleeps with Warnie.
Sleepy Jackson on Triple J with Devil Was In My Yard. You are listening to Bloody Sunday with Chris and Craig. I must admit my whole take on the shock Damian Martin resignation wasn't that there was anything, any demons in his personal life or he couldn't handle the pressure. I think it was just a very sporting
declaration, as it was, just trying to make the Ashes a bit more interesting.
Yeah.
By and his intention wasn't for someone, Lara Bingle or otherwise, to replace him, but just for the Aussies to field a 10-man team.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, he just sort of said, look, this is a pretty boring contest.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, the Aussies are two up already. I'm happy to sit the other three tests out.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make it a more even contest.
I like that theory, but for one thing, Chris, and that is that the only player on the Australian team who was clearly playing in favour of England was Damien Martin.
Right.
I think, you know, a lot of people have criticised him for this last-minute email, which he just sent an email saying, I resigned, and he hasn't turned up. He hasn't talked to Ricky Ponting. Mm. I think, to be fair to Damien, he was giving people notice a lot beforehand. Like every time he went out on the pitch and he just knocked the ball straight to the catch get no runs.
That should have been read.
He was clearly on putting people on notice, by the way, I'm about to get on out of here.
Should have been read as a plea for retirement.
Yeah, I think the fact that his wife was looking for tickets to Hawaii 2 weeks ago, apparently, that should have been taken as a notice.
Well, the problem is, I mean, the other guys like a drink and they spend a lot of time on the field, which means they're not actually, they don't spend a lot of time just at home on the computer.
Mm.
So Martin, I think, probably sent this email years ago. Probably, you know, at the last Ashes tour.
Test, yeah.
Absolutely, but no one had ever bothered to log on the Hotmail to realise he hated the sport and wanted to get out.
He just is stuck in his outbox. He couldn't figure out why people keep calling me play these freaking things.
I know, why is it
Can't they
reply?
Take a message?
I thought it would be quite a sort of controversial email. No one's replied. I guess I better just keep playing. Has he made himself available for the English side at least? Is it like, is he so bad
that
the English have headhunted him because they think he's, you know, more on par with Ashley Giles?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of Australians, when they can't make the Australian team, go to England.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have done that over history, and I think it should happen instantaneously. Like, during the game.
Absolutely.
You go, Martin, you're shit in this innings. Mm. You're on the English team. No, please, come on. No.
Mm.
You only got four. You're on the English team in the second inning.
Adelita on Triple J with a Double Dare. We've been discussing a couple of conspiracy theories earlier on the show. I just want to run another potential one past you. Have you noticed there's been a lot of retirements lately? I mean, it's not just Damien Martin. It all kick-started with Ian Thorpe. Hanging up the togs.
Yep.
Naomi Robson.
Yep.
Hanging up Greg Norman's togs. then Kim Beazley, not so much retirement as announced him, but still out of a job. Now then Damien Martin. And all...
Jessica Rowe.
Jessica Rowe's maternity leave again. I'm just thinking, is it like some kind of super group? Or like, it's just coincidental that so many of them are getting out of their main game at once. And
Thorpe had these ideas, right?
Thorpe's been talking about
Hollywood. Thorpe says, I've got this stuff going, I've just got to get the right people together.
That's right.
And I can't believe this is the supergroup to end all supergroups.
I mean, did anyone imagine when Thorpe dropped those hints that what he was really plotting, what he was conceiving, was a supergroup with Beazley on bass, Damien Martin to sort of providing some sort of support, probably disappointing. Then you've got Naomi, who's just going to front
Robson.
She'll front the whole thing. I mean,
backing vocals.
Oh yeah,
back announcing vocals.
I mean, imagine what a that'd be fantastic. I mean, and they debuted say at the Maya Music Bowl for Carols by Candlelight. Or, to come full circle at Vegas at the wedding of the year between Will and Kate Middleton with Koshy emceeing. I mean, it's so much talent.
It's just great
that people are moving on to other dreams that they've been held back in their former game.
What kind of music do you expect to come from this supergroup?
Oh, shithouse.
Bye.
Today's Bloody Sunday is proudly brought to you by Taylor and Rucastle. Purveyors of fine quality skirts to Fiji coup leaders for over 50 years.
That's more like it. The Silverchair with The Door here on Triple J. That was from the Freak Show record. Also, a great song from an Aussie band called Bells with Ring in there. Mm. And Mad Love. Chris and Craig doing Bloody Sunday for about another half an hour, whereby Kingsmill is going to hotten you up with a Live at the Wireless set featuring Something by Numbers and Matchbook Romance. That's coming up at 5.
Coming up very soon. I noticed here in the paper, Chris, that there's a massive growth in illegal brothels. Which is good to
know. It's only from the newspaper you noticed that.
I didn't notice that. Well,
no field research.
I did notice here that in your particular council area, there are 26 of them, and in mine there are 6. And I think there's no coincidence there. No wonder you moved in there.
Since I moved into the area, has there been a spike?
It's been a growth, didn't it? Mm. But I love the idea of the distinction when you have, you know, now that prostitution is actually legal, that you still kind of have these people going, no, look, We're just doing it the old way.
Mm.
We can't have a legal brothel.
Yeah.
We've got to still be illegal. We've got to keep it illegal.
You get that with casinos. Or like gambling. Yeah. There's all these little sort of speakeasy gambling parlours. Because people just hate doing anything legal.
I know. They're going, the whole point of, you know, going to prostitute, gambling, it's that it's illegal.
I know. Same with heroin injecting rooms and stuff. Like, you know, you could just do it there, but people still prefer to go down an alleyway.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean? I don't want to lose that kind of critical edge there.
I know.
I'm trying to think then why people go to the legal ones. And I presume it's only when it's a business expense, when you need a receipt.
Capital, like, or fringe benefits tax.
For your GST or something, yeah. Like, yeah, can I have a receipt for Mindy? Because I want to put it on my BAS.
Mm.
I presume that's the only difference. Well, why otherwise do you go to the legal
Don't
ones?
You hate it when they put the receipt, like they carve it into you in a whip, just with lashes? There's your invoice. sign hurts.
Yeah. It's also better, though, because then it also comes up in your credit card, you know. Yeah. Oh, that's the brothel.
Mm.
I wonder what that was.
The illegal ones, I mean, I'm surprised. This may surprise you, but I'm not au fait with either legal or illegal bordellos.
You're a call girl, man.
Do the illegal ones undercut, as it were? Is it like those independent petrol stations?
Yeah.
Are they sort of offering, like, is there a discount, as it were?
I presume they must do. I don't know, because I don't know how they must be harder for them to advertise than that. They must have some kind of crucial difference in the game there.
Mm.
I presume, because the only way they seem to advertise most of your brothels is by the red light. Out the front.
Yeah, but I get very confused with doctors. Have you ever done that?
No.
You've gone into a doctor's just, you know, wanting a checkup with your tonsillitis. You've opened your mouth. Next thing, you've got a golden shower coming into it. I didn't expect that.
Dr. Smith.
To be fair,
why are you wearing a bikini and cricket pads?
It did fix up my sore throat, though.
Yeah.
That is a Hard Fire with Hard to Beat on Triple J. Rucastle's brought to the table some amazing statistics that illegal brothels are on the rise.
And I don't know how you distinguish between them two, because it is, as you say, the red light thing's very confusing. There's somebody on my street that has, above their door, they've got a window panel that's red. And I always go, is that a brothel, or are they just, you know, that's just their style?
Well, when in the days when I did use prostitutes, I often just sort of assume they'd be at traffic lights, because I saw a lot of red lights. That's terrible. I should get a red card for that one. That's appalling.
You should get a red line for that.
Sorry, that is appalling.
That is appalling.
But do you ever have that thing where, you know how cab drivers often seem to be two-timing? Professionally, on the one hand, they're a taxi driver. On the other hand, they seem to be in the pocket of the illegal prostitution industry.
Particularly if you come at the airport. But you know what? I got a cab the other day, and you know there's the Taxi Drivers magazine. I can't remember what it's called. There's a little magazine. Sometimes the cabbies leave it in the back of the pocket there.
Right.
I was flicking through it. It's a very boring read. At the back page, there's a big colour advert from a brothel or a strip joint saying, "Dear Mr. Taxi Driver, every person you drop off at us, we'll give you $20. So actually advertise. So it's institutionalized. That they say, you know, if you bring somebody wherever it is, presumably on a big night as well, if you pick up some pissed blokes, you go, "Hey, you know, you're looking for a good time," take them there. Every bloke they drop off, they get another $20.
Yeah, they get commission.
It's amazing.
Do you need a cab for that? Or could I just sort of do, you know, hire a car for the night and just drop people off?
Just
people who don't even know where they're going. Like Japanese tourists. You say you get taken to them to, you know, the Great Ocean Road or Sydney Opera House, but just drop them off there. And pocket the commission.
I reckon get a whole bus. Get a whole tour bus of Japanese tourists. Think they're going to some kind of koala thing. Drop them off. By the time they realise, you're out of there with the money.
Oh, they'll take a photo of anything. They don't mind. Now, good afternoon, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm damn fine, mate.
Excellent. Now, I'll just try and bump your volumes up there a bit. Now, look, are you involved in the sex industry at any way?
No. I'm actually a plumber. I was involved in the construction of one of the ones in Sydney.
Right.
Yeah.
And, it was just... was curious the way they did things on theirs. When you put your card through, it was put down as automotive detailing. And it was fully aimed for the businessman so that they could write everything off on tax.
That's great. So that's what I've always wondered what automotive detailing was.
Mm. There's a lot of automotive detailing on your receipts, Craig Rucastle, I noticed.
Yeah. I wonder, because I keep going to like King's Cross with my car and going out to prostitutes going, can you just detail this car?
Yeah.
You know, and they're going, sorry, you don't do that. I'm totally confused.
Wasn't Hugh Grant caught in the back seat of a car having a lot of automotive detailing?
The confusion goes on. Thanks, John.
Thank you very much. You are on Triple J. Right now, this is the Red Riders with Aspirin from Replica. Replica.
I am a patient who is patient for change. Yeah. I am a doctor, one who is doctored but the same. Yeah. All you look like a scene of ghosts. Lie on the bench, tell me all your problems. We'll get right down to the beautiful. We're out of eternity, trust me always. Not at all, not at all. Listening in the sea like a ship in the harbor. I'm hovering listless fantasies. And in the moment you wake up, while your mental base, some kind of reason to change your mind, some kind of reason to celebrate. Hey, lie on my bed, tell me all your problems. We'll get right down to you.
It is 4:45. This is Bloody Sunday. That is the Red Riders. Speaking of prostitutes, you know, whenever you go to bookstores
this
now,
is Alan Jones's show.
Speaking of Alan Jones, he's actually he's having a party today in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. And there was speculation that all the top Aussie cricketers would be there. So they obviously haven't read Jonestown. No, speaking of hookers,
that's why Damien Martin got out of the team.
Yeah, very quickly.
He didn't want to go. No. I'm not going to Jonesy's place.
Anything but that. When you go to bookshops, and you, like, there's all these books now, like 1001 movies you must see before you die, 1001 records you must hear before you die. I reckon for this summer, it's going to be 1001 hookers you must try before you die.
They're running out of things.
Where does that franchise end?
Well, 20 to 1, that Channel 9 show, they've got to get Dan Hooker soon. I mean, they've done through everything else. Every show at the moment is a countdown.
I bought my mum for Christmas 1001 farts you must smell before you die. I think, yeah.
And it'll be riveting read because you want to get to the end and find out what it is.
We promised highbrow on this show.
Oh, it's too highbrow.
I mean, Ryan and Stuart is dragging the tone down.
I know they were.
We did fart and prostitutes in a single mic break.
Can I?
Don't panic. Kingsmill's up soon. Kingsmill is up soon.
Well, I can see him through the window. Yeah. You know what he's doing?
Has he fled?
He's got a little list of topics he's going to. He's crossed off farts and prostitutes. He's going back to the newspaper to find a new topic.
Stolen his fart thunder, as it were. What have we done?
Know what I'm very glad of? Apart from the fact that this job allows us to cover those in-depth topics, those important topics, is that it doesn't come with a Christmas party. Like, we've missed the Triple J Christmas party. There's no Christmas parties. Our other job has ended.
Yeah.
I'm not going to a single Christmas party this time.
My inbox is very empty on that front too.
But that's fantastic. Well, I mean, not that the Triple J Christmas party is bad, but...
No, it is. It's awful. Let's call a spade a spade. It's funny, if you get cornered by Robbie Buck or who's that guy that does the Roots show? Gee, that can be boring. Well, 2 years ago, never thought I'd get out of it.
We love you, Robbie. No, but because I used to work, and I've worked in a couple of those big institutions doing it, and it is just this terrible thing, and no one actually wants to go. They're like forced to go to these things. And it's just, I mean, it's dangerous for one thing. If you press the staple function when you do photocopying your ass at the end of the night, you can really hurt yourself.
Yeah.
I think the way to approach it is to use it. And to be very professional about getting drunk and like that. So when rather than photocopying your ass at the end of the night, put it in a PowerPoint presentation. Like, really impress the boss. You know, get some good graphs there or something. Like, don't just do the same old photocopy of the ass.
Some kind of flow chart of the ass throughout the year.
Yeah, a pie chart of the ass.
Pie chart.
A few stats there about the ass. And looking forward. Some forward predictions on the ass.
Future movements.
Exactly.
That can be expected from the ass.
Exactly. This is the kind of, use the opportunity of the Christmas party to impress the boss with your skills and show how much you've made up through the year.
I think it's a beautiful idea. Hey, speaking of Christmas party, the other great tradition, less so in this country, but whenever you go to America or England, they're very big on Christmas singles.
Yes.
And Christmas songs. Have you ever been shopping in like Macy's in New York? Everyone puts out a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And thank God they don't do it here. I'm sure Dean Guy has probably got something in the pipeline, but no one else would sink that low. But overseas, it's actually a very credible thing. And we've got on in our little hands here. A Christmas song from Sufjan Stevens.
Ooh.
Now, he's the guy who set himself the project of writing an album about every state in New York.
Mm. Every state in America.
Every state in America, including the 51st state, Australia. I think that's coming out soon. But he's also a big mad keen for Christmas songs. So before we wrap today, we've got another 10 minutes or so of Bloody Sunday, but we wanted to play this. This is the new Christmas song from Sufjan Stevens. Sufjan Stevens' Christmas song. It's called Get Behind Me, Santa. And you can find it on a record. It's a good name, actually.
The title's a little better, yeah.
What are you suggesting there? Better than the song itself?
Oh, I don't know. I love Chicago, but I don't know. That was the first hear, though.
Yeah. The record's called Peace, Songs for Christmas 2006. You are with Chris and Craig.
So not just one. He's put out a whole album.
No, look, hey, just speaking of... Americans. Donald Rumsfeld.
That was a shithouse segue.
That was the segue of the year.
It's like, speaking of people, speaking of things.
Speaking into a microphone as I was.
Speaking of getting axed after doing only one show, Donald Rumsfeld. No Christmas album.
No, really?
No, he'd have time on his hands to put one out, but no, Rummy, as opposed to Rudzy, our own Rudzy, Kevin Rudd. No, Rummy, Donald Rumsfeld. Because, you know, in the recent midterm elections, the Republicans copped a walloping and Rumsfeld was pretty much forced to fall on his sword, sacked, told to march. And before he's gone, because his portfolio was defence, and he's just suddenly, it's been revealed today, he's gone on a secret tour of Iraq.
A last-minute thing.
He's, you know, nice that he cares now.
But he's...
Not that he's now he's out of a job.
The last place you go for him. Like, essentially, everyone in the world now agrees you screwed up, right? Mm. It's be like the guy going to the Christmas party, the company you just made insolvent or something. Hey, everyone, I'm out of here. Mm. Like, the Iraqis aren't going to welcome him. And surely the troops aren't going to love saying, thanks, yes, you're off, yes. Well, you're out of the job. Yes, we're staying here. Yeah.
Thanks, extraordinary. Thanks for screwing up our lives. Thanks for screwing up this place. Nice that you could come over in person. I can only assume, is it some sort of sacrificial mission? Like, are the US troops going to be allowed one shot each?
Of
Rummy.
Rummy's decided, you know, because they've been looking at all the new policies. How are we going to take it on? He's going to get his own car, Rummy's car bomb. He's going to take on the insurgents. They've decided he's so expendable. Rummy, go blow yourself up, mate. No problems.
He'll go out the way that everyone under him went up in that town of Baghdad.
Let's hope it works, Rummy.
That is it.
Good
for
luck, mate.
Episode one of Bloody Sunday. Richard Kingsmill's up next. We'll catch you next week. Bye now.
What can I do? What can I say? To make you want me more. To have your love and show you how. That's all I'm asking for. I've been around the block so many times and I need a place to stop. I only want what's right for you and what could be right for us. I hear the same thing all the time and you know that I don't care. Well, I don't like the way you're hanging around and it sure don't like your hair. I'll wait until the sun comes up and a poke and prod you more.